Hey everyone, welcome to the Horror PSA presented by Scary Nerd, and as always, we are your hosts. I'm Paul.
I'm Saul.
And I'm Angie.
The following is a public service announcement.
Welcome back to the Horror PSA, everyone. We are having a very special South by Southwest recap edition.
Something a little different we're going to be doing today.
Yeah, we randomly went to South by Southwest Films Festival over this last weekend, so we got to see some pretty exciting... Oh, Paul and I got to see some pretty exciting new horror films.
I got to see two that Angie didn't get to see, so yep. I'm pretty excited about that.
South by Southwest is a very expansive film festival.
And expensive.
And expensive.
Expansive and expensive.
I bet, because what? It's, what, San Antonio? Houston?
Austin.
Austin, there you go.
Yeah, so, we got press passes, so we're more than happy to go.
Yeah.
And got to see some great, great movies. It was a lot of fun, and I think the thing about it is it was our first time. We didn't know what to expect. I've been trying to, like, read up on stuff and follow, you know, people on Twitter that are like, you know, here's tips and this and that. But everyone that we talked to was also like, this is kind of, it's not the same. It's a little bit different. They're still trying to, you know, it's not full capacity. It's they're not fully back yet.
They're still trying to get everything back to normal when it comes to it.
Yeah. It was a weird year, everyone said, even people that had gone for many, many years. So, yeah.
I think it's going to be like that for a while, though, because, like, I mean, outside of a few other things, this is, like, probably, what, one of the bigger things that's finally happening again, like, minus all the cons and everything else.
Yeah, the big things are starting to finally come back. And it was definitely evident, I think, with the attendance, because there were a ton of people. There were a ton of people trying to get into every event, and so I think that just speaks to how much people miss these kinds of events.
Well, they only showed X twice, and it was both times it was in a very small theater. The first time that we saw it the first time they showed it along with about 200 other people, because I think that theater only...
Yeah, I think they said 237.
Yeah, that was the max capacity. So if you take out, you know, the crew and some of the actors that showed up, then yeah, it's maybe about 200 plus, a little over there, is actual moviegoers.
Okay, so I'm going to pay the part of asking the questions about what they experienced, because I didn't get to go. So overall, how many movies did you guys get to watch?
We got to watch a couple different things. We also got to see some premieres of a couple sci-fi shows and a true crime show. Paul got to go to the premiere of the Halo, the Halo series.
I got to actually do the red carpet for Halo.
Nice.
And I talked to Pablo Schreiber, who is a very tall man. He's actually like 6'5". He does not look 6'5 on TV.
And Pablo Schreiber is porn stash.
Yeah, like he did not look 6'5 standing out next to those tall... next to those short girls in the prison in Orange is the New Black. So, yeah. Pablo Pornstash Schreiber is who I talked to. And I was like, what's it like to play Master Chief? And he was like, it's fucking amazing. Well, he didn't say fucking amazing, but he was like, it's amazing. Yeah, it was great. It was awesome. The show, I will say, I guess we're just starting with Halo.
Okay, let's
dive into Halo.
I talked to the executive producers, and they were both kind of like, you know, we wanted to make a world that was more applicable than just to, you know, video gamers.
Yeah.
So it's like we have a real human story. They talked a lot about hope and humanity and how, you know, it's just normal people caught up in this war. And they're like, you know, and that's, you know, not to compare the things. He's like, but that's, you know, something that's very relevant to our political climate, our just world right now.
Yeah.
I will say that, you know, if you're not a fan of the game or you never played the game, you don't have to be to get into the story.
Well, I think the main thing they're going to be drawn on is anybody who was a fan of the game, because I have fond memories of the game, because the fond memories I have of the game is pretty much having my friends come over and us drinking, getting drunk off our asses, playing the game.
See, they really wanted to play on the nostalgia of the game and also bring in like a real, you know, story element to it. So you could be, so if you're not a fan, I think one of the executive producers was like, I want to make a show that my wife would watch, and, you know, her never having played the games or never, you know, having any interest in any of that, but it's still entertaining for her.
Well,
and
like,
I do have to say, it is surprisingly fucking gory.
But, well, like you said,
because they start off with, you know, this colony getting attacked, and it's like, okay, we'll jump right into it. And I'm like, holy shit, they just blew that alien's fucking head off. Like, yeah, it is gory than you would think.
See, and that's something I'm looking for. Like you said, to me, what's going to get me interested and hooked on the show is just basically nostalgia, because it's a game that I played into my late teens, early 20s, so that's already tickling my nostalgia button to where it's like, I got to see this now. And the fact that it's actually going to be a show is what's, I think, going to be the positive of it.
It's very well made. Yeah, a lot of action. I mean, I hope they stick with the gore throughout, because there was some of the fighting scenes. I'm like, wow. Like, yeah, I wasn't, because even people in the theater were like, the first time someone's head blown off,
yeah,
people audibly were like, holy shit,
they're
like
going
in
there.
The theater. Yeah,
they're like, they're
yeah.
going
like
there.
People were surprised. We're like, all right, we're on board now.
And you saw what, just the first episode is what they
showed? Showed the first episode, yeah.
Okay.
And so, I think that comes out later this month on Showtime.
I think.
No, that's a Paramount Plus show. Paramount Plus, and we'll write up in the description of the things, when everything comes out. But that is a Paramount Plus show. It's coming out either this month or next month. So definitely look for that if you want some good sci-fi, gory.
March 24th.
A lot of these are,
Next Thursday, then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That one was good. The whole theme of people needing people and, like, relevant themes in the world was kind of a thing this year. And I think a lot of that's going to come out of the pandemic, is just people needing people and being alone and finding yourself. But another one we saw, another TV show that we got to go to the premiere, was a Showtime series called The Man Who Fell to Earth.
Okay.
And it's a sci-fi series, and it's based on the book that was also a movie that starred David Bowie. So that might be where you've heard the name from.
I thought I heard that name
before. Yeah.
That's why I was like, I know I've heard this, but where? But,
and it's it stars Naomi Harris and what's his name?
I'm going to probably butcher this, but I think it's Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And Bill Nye.
Which she got a pick with Naomi Harris. I got a pick with Bill Nye.
I also got a chance to tell Naomi Harris how much I loved her in 28 Days Later. I was like, you're one of the biggest badasses.
I forget that she's in that.
Yes.
I forget that
and
she's
and
in
and
that.
Oddly enough, she was Calypso and he was Davy Jones.
Yes.
Yeah. And they were in the show together.
Yeah.
Again,
so. But it's based off of the sci-fi book where an alien basically comes to Earth to try to save his own species. And a lot of the themes in it are climate change and, you know, because his climate is changing and we're having the same problems and like that kind of.
There's
whole
something
thing.
Going on in their planet that he needs to like fix. And it's something having to do with like energy and stuff like this. And like it's like tearing his planet apart. So he has to come here to try and fix it with Naomi Harris's character, who used to be like a scientist. And now she's just like a broke person in was it New Mexico or Texas?
Yeah,
I think?
It's New Mexico, yeah. I believe. But yeah, that one also had a scene in the first, because we got to see this first two episodes of that one.
Yeah, and I'm hooked. I'm hooked.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's expansive because it's beautiful.
It's a beautifully done
sci-fi series.
We got to see it on a huge, it was a huge screen in like 4K, you know, in a big exhibit hall.
Okay.
And they showed us the first two episodes, and I'm like, the CGI is fucking amazing.
Yes, it's gorgeous.
Like, they have spent money on the show. I mean, you have all these top quality actors, and then you're not going to slouch on the fucking visuals if you're going to do that. So it's like, it looks amazing, and like, it's just, it hooks you right away. And it's very funny, because I get almost like Starman kind of references,
because
he comes and he kind of assumes the form of a human,
and
he has to learn everything as he's going. Like, he's listening to people talk, and that's how he learns to talk. And like, it reminded me a lot of Starman, and just like the little comedic parts here and there, and just him mimicking other people and stuff like that. So
I'm just trying to figure everything out.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Like I said, the CGI was great. The acting is top quality. Like,
it's funny. It's got intense action sequences. There's a pretty brutal fight scene in the first two episodes that ends with a lot of blood, actually. So it's definitely, like I said, it's expansive, it's genre bending, it's all kinds of all over the place, which is a lot of things, I think, at South by Southwest.
And this comes out on Showtime.
This one, I believe, this is a Showtime series. I want to say this is one of the ones that comes out in like mid to late April. I really feel like, I don't know if South by Southwest did this, you know, purposefully, or if it's just how the things worked out. But I really feel like a lot of the movies really had kind of the same underlying messages of like humanity and hope and like, you know, the need to kind of come together for certain things and stuff like that. So, and it wasn't, you know, I really didn't see any that were too preachy, because like even in this one, that's the central theme of it. But it's like, it's done in a science fiction way. It's like, you know, he's trying to save his home planet, you know, and it's, you know, you get sucked into the story without, you know, feeling like you're being preached to. And I think a lot of these films have those messages, but didn't preach to you the whole time.
Okay, so they weren't too preachy. It was just, hey, here's this.
It's just it's part of the story. Yeah. So it's like, here's the message that's part of these characters' lives, and yeah, it's like, you know, that's
and
what
the
they
story,
need to do.
The story focuses on the humanness and the connection between, like, how there's an actual connection between this alien and this human.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like they are, you know, a fish out of water, and it's really different, but he still is able to convince her. Because he's having the same kind of experience as she's having.
Okay.
There's a line in the trailer, and I'll say it because it's in the trailer and you can see it, but there's a line where she kind of realizes that Naomi Harris's character, she realizes that he's an actual alien. She's like, okay. She's like, I can't believe I'm talking to an alien. And he goes, well, so am I.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, oh, yeah, that kind of makes you think, you know, like, yeah, because you do. You forget for a second. I'm like, oh, shit, I am the alien to you. Mm-hmm. You know, like, okay.
Well, it's one of those things that always gets me, too, is like with Superman, everybody always forgets that he's an actual freaking alien. We're like, well, what did you think? Yeah, he's a human, but he's still a freaking alien.
Just because he looks human.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't mean he's not an alien.
Yeah. It's a very well done. And Bill Nye, he's amazing in everything.
Yes. He has a very comedic moment when you finally get to see him, I think, at the end of episode one.
Yeah.
End of episode one that spills into the beginning of two. And mm-hmm. he has a very, very funny line, and the only the way that Bill Nye could deliver. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just yeah. amazing.
Wait, we're talking about Bill Nye the Science Guy, right?
No.
Oh, okay. I was about to say.
No.
Yeah, Bill Nye the Science Guy. No, it was...
That's what was the only thing
Davy Jones.
Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean.
I heard Bill Nye, and the only thing I can hear is Bill Nye.
Well, it's Bill Nye. I don't know if you pronounce the Y.
But that's how they pronounce it, Bill Nye. Bill Nye. So I'm assuming it's British, and you don't pronounce the Y.
I don't know. They don't pronounce half the letters sometimes. I don't know.
All right, so far, two good shows that you recommend, the Halo.
Yes, and the other premiere of the series that I got to see was a true crime dramatization of...
The Girl from Plainville.
Yeah, The Girl from Plainville, starring Elle Fanning.
It's going to be on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've seen promos for that already.
Yeah.
I think I have.
And it's actually, like, I was so hooked to the story because I kind of know about the story. It's the one where the guy's girlfriend was texting him while he was suicidal, and she was like, do it.
Drink bleach or do this.
Yeah.
They had an HBO documentary a few years ago that came out, and then... The guy that wrote the article was there, and he's actually an executive or consulting producer on the series now.
Yeah.
And so he was able to answer a couple of questions, and there people were like, did you ever think that this would get to the magnitude that it has? And, you know, what made you get involved? And he was like, honestly, they grew up in a town about an hour from where I did, and the kid that killed himself reminded me of my younger brother,
mm-hmm.
and I just thought, you know, wow, this guy is the same age as my brother, and like...
So it just resonated
with him. Yeah, it really resonated with him, so he picked up the story, and like, you know, here it is, you know, a few years later, now it's like HBO documentary, now it's this, you know, true crime series, and Hulu has really stepped up their, like, true crime miniseries. And they did that other one, the Gypsy Rose one, I don't remember what the name was, with Roseanne Arquette, and oddly enough, I'm going to butcher her last name, Chloe Sevigny. I'm going to say Sevigny, but I think they were saying, like, Sevigny.
Sevigny. Sevigny or something like that.
But she was there, Elle Fanning was there. It was really... I don't want to say it because, I mean, obviously we didn't know the girl, and all I know is from the documentary and shit.
I mean, when I saw the documentary, when I had seen the story break originally all those years ago, I was like, that bitch looks like Elle Fanning with weird eyebrows. Like, that's immediately what I thought. And so when she came on screen, I'm like, it's just, that's her. It's so weird.
It's creepy.
It's very creepy. The whole series is very creepy because obviously the story is really like
it's gross. It's a gross story.
It is gross. And the case like really broke open like, you know, what you can say, how free is free speech, and like what you can do to assist other people and not get help, you know, like.
And she plays her like very like gross too.
But that's the whole thing.
And that's the girl, though. Like, she plays her, like...
That's the because, thing. Like, it's, like, the whole thing is, like, she is a very insecure teenage girl. Like, she's horribly insecure. She might have her own mental problems.
They allude to that a bit in the show.
Yeah. Like, there's a whole slew of things, and she's obsessed with, like, this YA young adult, like, culture. Like, those Fault in Our Stars book. Like, you know, she wanted to have,
Glee.
Like... The Glee. She wanted to have that, like, teenage romantic like death.
I think she wanted like it just a fairy tale like Romeo and Juliet.
You know, say what you will about the emo generation being dramatic, but the whole Glee generation really amped up that whole "I'll kill myself for you." Like,
well, the emo kids to me always threatened it and were never actually ballsy enough to do it. It's like that's that's what they did to get their attention.
No, the emo kids were just feeling their fucking feelings, and everybody was being mean to them. Like, just let them kids be upset.
That's what I was trying to get at. Like, they're upfront with their emotions. That's why they're emos. It's like, I'm emotional. I don't want you to listen to me.
Exactly. They need attention. They need a little love. All
just
right.
Just feel your emotions, kids.
Feel your feelings, feel your kids.
Feelings. Feel your feelings.
But yeah, no, if you like true crime and kind of the whole, and you want to know the story behind it.
I'm super intrigued with it just because like all three of us probably is when everything started coming out about this. I'm like, what the fuck happened and how did this happen?
Yeah, I remember, I'm like, how can you take somebody to court over text?
Yeah, at first I was like, that's dumb. But then when like all the actual texts started coming out, I was like, oh shit. If she told that motherfucker to drink bleach, like, yeah, arrest that bitch. Like, okay, never mind. I was wrong.
No, and it shows her interactions with the family like afterwards.
Yeah.
And how kind of like she spiraled into this role almost that she took on. But it also shows Chloe Sevigny, she plays the mom of Conrad. The boy who died by suicide. And she goes, it really explores her guilt and her feelings and her discovery of this, you know, of the text and that whole relationship, even, because she didn't know much about their relationship going on.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think they said they lived like maybe an hour away from each other. And it's like the mom was like, oh, I didn't know you guys were close. So like
you guys were dating?
Like, yeah, like, oh, he told me he loved me. And he's like, oh, I didn't know you were close.
Yeah.
And shit like that.
And
like,
the guy who wrote the article had said that when he had signed on to do it, he was so adamant that they be respectful of every aspect of everything, because he lived in that town while he was writing the article, while he was doing all the research. He was like, I would go to work out at the gym and Conrad's dad would be, you know, a couple treadmills down. So he was like, it's very respectful the way it's done. We explore, you know, Conrad's life, not only his death, but his life. And all that kind of stuff. So I'm excited to see where the rest of the series goes, but it's bad shit crazy.
And I want to say that, like, when you say like it's a recreation or a dramatization or something that like true event, like, it's not done cheesily either. Okay. Like, because I feel like if you say those words, I'm like, I think of the cheesy unsolved mystery ones they would do.
It's not the Lifetime
or like a Lifetime movie. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's not the Lifetime or what is
it? Yeah, I mean, it's the Hallmark movies or stuff like that. No, like,
no, the one that I'm thinking of also is the ones that do them terribly is those reels.
Oh, yeah,
like Reels death ones where they recreate the deaths of, like, this is how this celebrity died. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very well done. And, like she said, very respectful to, like, people that actually lived through it. And I think...
But Elle Fanning, like, there's this one scene where she is acting out this part, and it's like, you're like, this bitch is deranged. Like, you really sell into it, because you're like,
she does a very good job.
It's it could be a scene that is done so cringeworthy, right? Mm-hmm. It could just you know the scene I'm talking about, Paul. I don't want to ruin it, but I was just like watching it. I'm like, no, that bitch crazy. Like, and this is crazy all over it.
And this is a Hulu series.
Yes, this one's a Hulu series. It's called The Girl from Plainville. It stars Elle Fanning.
Oh, another thing to look forward to.
March 29th. Yes. The first episode, well, I think the whole series premieres March 29th on Hulu.
Oh, so it's doing that thing. So it's dropping everything at once, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, so if you have nothing to do on March 29th, there's a series to binge.
Yeah.
Well, either way, you can watch the first one.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah, and it's an exploratory thing. It covers years of the story, so...
Okay. Because I think it took a couple of years till she actually went to trial.
Yeah, throughout the trial and stuff like that. But yeah, it's very interesting. It's not horror or sci-fi really, but we're going to call it fantasy.
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 It's a fantasy adventure.
It's very meta, and it's bananas. Uh-oh. But Paul and I got to go to the premiere of this with Nicolas Cage and Pedro Pascal. And Pedro Pascal is not very tall.
No.
I thought he was going to be taller. Man?
He's
about
know.
The same height as Nick Cage, I think.
No, Nick Cage was taller than him.
Isn't like Nick Cage like 6'3"?
Yeah, Nick Cage is like 6'2", 6'3". I think Pedro is maybe 5'10"-ish, somewhere around there.
We got to see The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent with Nicolas Cage starring as Nicolas Cage.
At this point in his career, does he just not play anything other than himself?
Okay, No. Okay,
this
movie. First of all, let me just say, it is a fictionalized version of Nick Cage.
Okay.
Okay, so in this movie, he plays himself, but he's playing like a struggling actor that's like severely in debt. I mean, obviously he's not in debt anymore and shit like that, but they're playing up that he's going through a divorce, he has this teenage daughter, and he kind of has a little bit of a drinking problem, And his agent is played by
Neil Patrick Harris.
Neil Patrick Harris. NPH. And he's only in like two or three scenes, but he's hilarious as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so he's trying to get this movie part, and he gets the rejection. So he tells him, look, this guy wants you to come and just hang out with him, and he'll pay us $1 million.
Huh.
But he lives in Spain, right? So he's like, okay, fine, whatever. I need the money, or they're going to kick me out of this place. You know, I owe money here and there. So he takes the money and ends up being Pedro Pascal, who is like this Spanish drug lord.
Uh-oh.
And he flies there on his private jet. And when he lands, these two CIA agents, played by Tiffany Haddish, and I don't remember the other dude's name, but they're hilarious
Ike
together.
Ike Barinholtz. Mm.
They are hilarious together. They bicker with each other like brother and sister, and their parts are very funny.
Their parts are so small, too, but they are fucking hilarious. Yeah. There's a ton of cameos in this movie. They're all throughout.
So let me guess, the CIA agents want him to play informant?
So the CIA agents basically recruit him to get information because there's a kidnapped girl, and they need to know where she is, and it has the whole deal with all this other stuff. So basically, he goes there and he's trying to play double agent, but at the same time, like, Pedro Pascal is just like the biggest Nick Cage fan.
He is a huge Nick Cage fan, and the whole thing is that he wants to make a movie, and he wants Nicolas Cage to star in it.
He wrote a movie, but then they end up doing like, let's just make a movie together.
I know you say this is supposed to be fictionalized, but why do I figure that this actually wasn't too far-fetched from actually happening?
Oh no, it plays like a buddy comedy. And it is amazing.
But still, though, it's Nicolas Cage, so everything you guys described
about
him being
somewhat broke.
Oh, and
he comments on the Nicolas Cage-ness throughout the whole thing.
No, he takes no offense to anything. He pot shots himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he definitely, I don't want to spoil the other part of it, but he definitely makes fun of his younger self a lot in this movie. Like,
so much.
There are nothing that are off limits, and there are so many, like, small scene recreations, and they do lines like from his old movies, and like,
if they do
it
Con Air,
just,
it's over for me.
It is
have to
just
watch this.
Hilarious. No, trust me.
You have to.
You
see
have
it.
To see this
you
movie.
Have to
it
see
is
it.
So funny.
Okay.
Like, whether you're a Nick Cage fan or just a casual Nick Cage fan, he brings up fucking guarding tests. That's all
oh
I'm gonna say.
Mm-hmm.
He takes shots at all of it. Okay.
All of it.
Trust me when I say.
Sold when it was Nick Cage.
Trust me when I say he makes fun of young Nick Cage.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, a lot.
Okay.
He also makes references to his career over the past like 10 years. There's nothing off limits.
There's
off
a
limits.
Mandy
okay.
reference.
Okay.
I'll say
okay.
that.
There's a Mandy reference. There's a comment on how many films he's made over the past couple years.
Here's where we'll cement it. Does he shit on himself for Superman?
They don't mention Superman.
Because if he would have, then that would have
been
so
awesome.
No,
but the other hand is Pedro Pascal, who is fucking hilarious.
Yes.
I didn't even know he was hilarious until this movie. He plays physical comedy.
He does
quick little, like, hilarious.
Yeah, especially when you think, like, this guy's the fucking Mandalorian, and then you see him doing all these things with, like you said, the physical comedy, and, like, it is just hilarious.
I'm not surprised with that, because he's got a lot of range. I don't know if you guys saw the Wonder Woman 1984.
No, we didn't get around to Wonder
Woman. But
the
character he plays in that was just, like, completely out of left field for me, like how he played it. So I was like, holy crap. So now I can see if Pedro Pascal is capable. Now I can see that he's capable of playing a comedic role, because he was just, the character he played in that was just kind of like an over the top con man salesman type of thing. And I don't know if he was intending to be serious, but it came off very comedic to me. And it's just like, Pedro Pascal is the Mandalorian. I know him as from Game of Thrones.
Oh, was he in Game of Thrones?
Yeah, he was in Game of Thrones. He's the guy who had his head popped. He was the Viper. I forget. Oberyn Tar. Damn it.
You're speaking Greek.
But still, he was in Game of Thrones. That's when I know him. So when I saw Pedro Pascal do something other than that, I had no idea he actually had a regular accent. I always thought he had that, like, the, I don't want, not Hispanic, but the Central American, South American accent, to where he has, you can tell he's from Latin descent.
Yeah.
But I had no idea that he's born and bred American.
Yeah, and he's apparently, we did the Q&A because they had a Q&A afterwards. And Nick Cage and Pedro Pascal were both there. Wait. Nick Cage was wearing a plaid suit, a red plaid suit.
Like the Brawny Man's shirt, but it was a full-on suit.
Head to toe plaid.
Okay. So I do have to say, all throughout Austin, right, they put saran wrap around the pillars around the convention center, and people put posters or stickers. I put a bunch of Scary Nerd shit up there, like all of our stickers and everything.
Uh-huh.
There was a guy that made this full, like, 11 by 15 thing, and it had Nick Cage's face on it, and it said, "I'm your biggest fan, Nick Cage," and it had a phone number on there.
Oh,
and I was like, I don't know if this is like a promo for the movie or whatever, but I go and wait in the near the red carpet thing, and the guy actually was there, and he was like, "Yeah," and he called me, and we talked for a little bit.
What?
So then we're doing the Q&A, and the guy who's the biggest Nick Cage fan, you know, he's walking around with his poster and all that. He goes to ask a question, and what did he say? Pedro Pascal was like, he's like, "You're the guy that's trying to take my number one spot as a Nick Cage fan."
Yeah.
So he was giving that kid shit because he was like, they were asking him about the movie, like, you know, their dynamic with each other. And Nick Cage was like, "Some of that shit in the movie is literally just me and Pedro just talking about movies together. Like,
yeah,
just being
apparently
fans of movies."
They were talking about, I have a clip from the Q&A where they bonded over Spanish horror and J-horror. Apparently that's what they talked about.
Yeah, like he was saying, like, we would just, you know, give each other movies to watch. He's like, "We were filming and it was like a Halloween weekend." He's like, "I'm like, all right, you go watch this movie, I'll go watch this movie, then we'll come talk about them."
And the whole film is a love letter to movies in general. Like, it is. Especially to like Nicolas Cage movies, but more so to just movie making and the movies in general, like the love of that action-y kind of thrilling feeling at the movie.
It is very like an inward look at film in general, because then they, especially when they're trying to make their own film, like they talk about it, they're like, "Well, I want a story that has this," and they're like, "No, well, we have to have this." Like,
it's hilarious. And yeah, Nicolas Cage, I mean, he sells the whole thing because he plays himself, and he plays himself in the best Nicolas Cage fashion.
And it's almost like he's doing a Nick Cage impression of himself.
It really is.
Like, while you're watching the movie.
And during the Q&A, the director was like, "Yeah, when we started watching this, we never met Nick Cage. We didn't know him. Like, we just decided this is what we were going to do, and it somehow all worked out." I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I think he said, like, we'd asked him, and he said no. We asked him a couple times, and he's like, I sent him this long, like, email, and, like, Nick Cage was like, "It was a beautiful email," and I thought, all right, well, let me take a look at this first. Okay. And someone was like, "Is it weird reading a part that's you, like, written about you that you have to play?" He's like, "You have no idea."
Yeah. But Nick Cage is a weird guy, so he made it work. It's all right.
He's gonna be a weird dude.
I think it's funny because in film school we watched Being John Malkovich, and then we had a discussion like, if you were to remake this movie, who would you do? And we were like, Nick Cage. And now, like, this is almost kind of like Being John Malkovich.
Well, that's what I was about to
say. Without, you know, the sci-fi, you know, closet shit.
That's what I was about to ask when you said he's playing himself and like a meta version of that. I'm like, so kind of like being John Malkovich.
It kind of is, but it's just, it's so much more hilarious.
It is. It's fun to be fun. There's no message really.
There is no message. Okay. If you want a movie with no, if you want a movie with no message that doesn't, you know, even like have a hint of a message, this is your fucking movie.
Yes.
If you just want to go and laugh your ass off, this
Nick
is
Cage
a movie to watch.
Nick Cage.
Okay, I can't wait until it comes out and we can watch it on edibles, because we were in Austin and it's not legal there. We couldn't have marijuana.
So is this movie or straight to streaming?
It's a movie.
It's
debuting in theaters, I believe, soon.
I think in the next few weeks.
Well, isn't the whole point of South by Southwest is to build hype for stuff that's coming out soon?
Yeah, so like X is coming out this Friday, and we just saw it on Sunday night.
Okay, it comes out April 22nd in theaters. So yeah, next month.
So everything's either this month in March or next month in April.
Yes, but seriously, if you've ever been a Nick Cage fan at any point in your life, go see this
movie. Nick Cage movie. Any Nick Cage movie ever, or if you just can think of any Nick Cage from the 80s on to now that you like, that would be funny to see, there's something in there for everyone.
Yes.
I'm gonna have to now.
It's a fun fucking time. It's a fun ride. It really takes you back to those 80s like buddy comedy movies.
When they made movies for no other fucking reason than just to make movies.
Yeah.
And they didn't care about, you know, making money. This is purely, I mean, this movie's going to make money just because it's so much fun. And it
so
pokes fun at itself, and it pokes fun at, like, you know, film in general. But at the same time, like you said, just being a love letter to film at the same time. So it's like, this movie, it was just made for pure fun, and I think that's why it's going to succeed.
I was sold when you said Nick Cage playing Nick Cage.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so good. All right, should we get to X now?
Okay, so now let's get to the horror movies.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
You're going to feel uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable. It made me more uncomfortable than any other horror movie has ever made me.
Are we talking about X?
X. Yes. There was a scene, and I've been watching horror movies since I was way too young
to be watching horror movies.
I'm not spoiling any scene, but there was a scene, and I have never said I would rather be dead during a scene, But there was a scene where I was like, nope, I would rather be dead
and
than live
through
that.
And you have to watch
that.
This scene for quite a while.
It's okay, intense, so. And it makes you uncomfortable, and everyone was uncomfortable, and see it in the theaters to be uncomfortable with everyone else.
Now, what is X about?
Okay. Porn.
Do you want to do it? I'm into it.
You can do it.
Okay, so I don't know anyone's name except for Mia Goth and Jenna Ortega.
Jenna Ortega
and then
Kid
Cudi, Brittany Snow. Okay, so we know most of them except for the
Martin Henderson.
That's the guy's name. Okay, who's from New Zealand?
He was in The Ring.
Yeah, he was the guy that played the dad of the little boy in The Ring. I guess he's fucking from New Zealand because he talked with his New Zealand accent, and even the other actors were talking about how he just kept his Texas accent the whole time. And then Brittany Snow's like, "Holy crap, I didn't even think about that." Like,
Kid Cudi was like, "I didn't know he was from New Zealand at all."
He was like, "Yeah, during lunch he would just be talking to us in his Texas accent, and we just thought he's from Texas." Like, okay, he's like, "Yeah," and he starts talking in his New Zealand accent. And we're like, "What the hell?"
Like, what the fuck happened?
Because I didn't know he was from New Zealand either. But
yeah.
That's funny.
So
okay.
It's about a group of Texans who trying to break into the porn industry.
He owns a strip club, and Brittany Snow and I don't know what her other name is, Mia Goth's character. Uh-huh. They both play strippers, and they decide, you know, this is like the late 70s. And
79.
And this, okay, the rumblings of VHS are happening. And he's like, we need to make a porno. And get it out. He's like, because then he says a line that's like, well, then every horny fucker can have us in their living room or, you know, something like that. So he's, you know, big Texas idea. So they go out into the country and they're in some shit little town.
Okay.
And they rent this.
I don't even know if it's a town. It's just like a rural, like, you see those houses on the side of the highway, and that's what it is.
You're gonna be reminded a lot of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's Texas background in the middle of nowhere, because they show basically this little gas station on the way where they pick up some stuff, and then they go to this guy's like farm.
There's a van.
Yeah, and they're in a van.
Yeah.
Wait. You're going to a farm to film a porno?
They go and they rent like this, there's two or three rooms.
Technically like a boarding house. It's like basically like a little side house on this big farm.
Yeah.
And it's they have a non-existent budget because they're, you know, adult entertainers.
He's a sleazy, you know, he owns a strip club next to like the shipping yard in Houston or some shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, to give you that kind of idea. That's the kind of budget we're working with on this thing. So it's like it's not like a cabin, but it's like a little house, right? And they all have rooms. So then they shoot there, and then they sneak some shots in the barn you know, cuz it basically is like, we're going to make this porn. It's called The Farmer's Daughters, and, you know, we're going to film it here. And, you know, that's their whole thing. So they film most of it, and then shit starts happening.
Shit happens.
Yeah, but you will feel like you've seen this. Like we've said, it's so reminiscent of Chainsaw, obviously.
Well, you said that when you said little small Texas rural town. Like, what more can you think of?
Yeah, but no.
You can't help but think of it.
It also, when you watch it, though, it's not just Texas Chainsaw that it brings you back to, because it's like he adds colors and tones and themes in there that'll also just give you like 1980s horror. So like you are getting the Texas Chainsaw of it all, but like broader, you're getting the Americana that was always thrown in our faces and those kinds of like roadside things. And, you know, you're getting more of like, she wants to be an aspiring filmmaker. She wants to get out there and, like, you know, she wants to have people love her. So you're getting a broader sense of like America, almost.
Now, do we
especially in the early late 70s?
Yeah.
Is it safe to say we have a new slasher or no?
Oh, it is a slasher.
Slasher
for sure. To the core.
Buckets of
gory as fuck.
Okay.
And brutal. Okay.
So
brutal.
Okay, so you don't have to think. You don't really have to, like, there's no twist to really solve. Okay. Like, once it gets going and you see like what's happening, then you just go for the ride. Okay. Yeah. Then you're kind of wondering, like, okay, how's everyone going to meet their demise and this and that, right? So there's really nothing, like I said, it's not like, I don't want to call it like a mindless slasher, but it was mindless in the sense that you're not thinking about anything. You're just watching.
You're just watching everything play out.
And it is gory as hell. And there is some violent, violent parts to it. So if you want gore,
a lot
you
of sex.
Violence,
okay, so we got
sex,
slasher.
Gore, violence.
Okay.
If you like all that and you don't want a story or preach, you're going to watch this.
There's also a ton of comedic moments. This movie is wildly funny.
I mean, yeah, you can't have a movie about making a porno without having some comedic moments between the dialogue and everyone. Yeah.
And porn. Like, porn. Like, I was like, whoa, there's a lot of porn
I knew they were going to make a porn, and I knew that, you know, there may have been some boobs. And I'm like, I was surprised at how much boobs we actually saw.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was surprised.
Yeah, it's definitely like a 70s film.
To even say, like, I didn't
felt like
think
that.
Brittany Snow was going to
be topless. So she's naked in it.
Yeah, like they do porn. Like Kid Cudi gets pretty naked in it. Like naked porn.
That's
like,
funny that Kid
there's
Cudi
thrusting.
Is in this.
There's thrusting.
Oh.
There's this. It's yeah. There is sex and blood and gore.
Yes, okay. It okay. is. Yes, okay. And that's kind of we did the Q&A with that one as well. And Ty West was saying that, you know, porn and horror have always been other forms of entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, the theme of this movie with the, you know, the chick. She wants to be a sex symbol. She wants to be that other, you know. But it's also, and then we just said this was like the love letters, the South by Southwest was just a love letters whole film festival. Because Ty West did, like, there's so much horror movie homages and, you know, nods and just, it's so fun because it doesn't rip anything off.
It's almost like little Easter eggs of like just little nods of Easter eggs inside that you, the little quick things that you kind of like, oh, okay, I know, yeah, oh, look at that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The thing that I think I'm more sold on than anything is the fact that Angie said that she's never been more uncomfortable in a movie.
You're going to say, I'm going to trust me when I say you're going to say the same thing. And when you're done, you're going to text me and be like, oh my God.
Yep.
See,
you were talking about.
See, that's the one thing is like when somebody says that, it's like, okay, now my interest is peaked. Now it's like, okay, I have to see this just to see if I felt the same way.
The whole, we got to experience it in a whole theater full of people, which is amazing. And I suggest everybody experience that way.
When we get done with this, I'm going to have to look that up to see if they're playing it here locally or not.
They are, I believe.
It comes out. On Friday. There are people that are going to see it Thursday night. So,
okay. Yeah. But no, the whole theater was like, oh my God, what is happening right now? And like the gasps. Okay. And
I do.
Just having that collective experience of being so uncomfortable together was a whole new experience for me. I haven't been that uncomfortable in a theater ever.
Okay.
But it was thrilling. It really was because it's such a moment of tension release.
Okay.
Because what comes after that is like a beautiful crescendo of... of feeling, you know, what horror movies are best at. They get you in there and they make you feel. Horror movies are supposed to make you horny, make you scared, and make you think. And this one does all three.
Okay. I'm
sorry. I don't think
that.
It doesn't really make you think.
I think it does.
I'm going to say it doesn't make you think, like, you're not trying to figure anything out.
Oh, no, that's not what I'm saying. Okay. I'm saying the overall message of it makes you think.
I do have to say that for people that don't like jump scares, there are some jump scares in this movie. But they're not cheesy jump scares.
Okay. Yeah.
I have to say that I actually, like, they were practical kind of jump scares to me. And not, like, just,
gratuitous jump scares here, folks.
Me with jump scares is, I don't get got by them. Because it's one of those things, it's like, you know you're gonna it's getting built towards that. And you're like, okay, they're gonna do a jump scare here and there.
There were a few that I did see coming in this one. I was like, okay, this is the logical next step.
Yeah.
But a lot of it was just because of the whole beat of the movie.
There
so I was like, it's not going to be a slow thing. Like, you know something next is happening.
There are some that actually just catch you by surprise just the way the movie progresses.
Because it's been forever. I don't remember the last time that the movie actually got me with a jump scare. It's been a while.
Yeah. I highly recommend this movie. It is a weird, off-the-wall, fun horror movie. And I really, like, if you're a fan of 80s horror movies, you're going to fucking love this movie.
All right. Like I said, when we get done with this, I'm looking it up and seeing it because I'm going to have to go watch this movie.
It's amazing. I highly recommend
it. You'll enjoy it.
Okay. So that was X.
What other horror movies. What did you see?
The only other thing we have to talk about is Everything Everywhere.
Yeah, and I didn't get to see that one either.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
That's sci-fi as well.
This is, okay. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so first and foremost, what's this movie about?
Okay, so the movie is called Everything Everywhere All at Once, and it stars Michelle Yeoh, and she was in Crazy Rich Asians, and I know she was in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and besides those, I know she's a huge star in... you know, the Asian film market. And
her name sounds familiar.
She was also a ballerina and a martial arts expert, correct?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like,
she's a Renaissance woman.
She's hugely famous in Asian countries. Right?
She's like Jackie Chan.
And so she's now, like, this is, like, people are excited because, like, this is, like, her first, like, starring role in, like, a major, like, U.S. picture.
Okay.
This was produced by the Russo brothers.
Oh.
This is another A24 film.
Okay.
Jamie Lee Curtis stars.
Jamie Lee Curtis is in it. She's, I wouldn't say she stars. She's definitely supporting, but okay. So She is a woman that's from China, and she immigrates to America against the advice of her father, who's played by James Hong, who's fucking amazing in this movie. So her husband asks her to marry him. Obviously, they're dating, and the father's like, no, if you leave, you're not my daughter. She goes to America, and she opens a laundromat with her husband, then has a daughter. Now, here we are. You know, the daughter's like, you know, 20-something years old, college age, right? Her husband is played by, I'm going to probably butcher this, but Ki Hu Kwan, who is Short Round and was also in The Goonies.
Yes.
And people are also very excited because this is like his first like starring role in over 20 years of acting.
Holy crap.
I know he was in that that Netflix movie where it was like, I don't remember. It was a, Ohana means family. Yeah. Ohana. I think it was just called Ohana.
Okay.
He was in that, but I think he has like a small role in that, whatever. But he plays the husband, and he's a very like reserved kind of, you know, mousy guy, whatever. So the whole story is set that like, she kind of thinks back at that moment like, God, you know, I wonder what my life would have been like if I hadn't married him, or if I'd done this or done that, or blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
They're having some trouble with the IRS with their laundromat.
Uh-oh.
So the whole thing is they have to go to get to this appointment to try and figure out their taxes with their IRS agent, who's named Deidre Bodidra, who's played by Jamie Lee Curtis, who plays like this schlubby like IRS agent. Like, if you've seen the trailer, you'll see like she's got like fat pads and like, you know, schlubby, like, is the best way I could put it. But while they're going to this meeting, she is visited by an alternate universe version of her husband who inhabits his body and explains that there's an omnipotent being traveling all the multiverses and killing her in every single universe in order to destroy the whole multiverse. And she's the only one that can stop them.
Why have I heard this premise before? It sounds like Jet Li's The One.
I don't know. I never saw The One.
It sounds like The One.
But she doesn't believe him, obviously, until shit starts getting crazy and starts happening. And then what happens after that is the craziest fucking hilarious. Like, it is so much fun. As much as I loved the Nick Cage movie, I love this movie almost twice as much.
Mm.
This movie is so much fun. There's so many ridiculous shit that happened in this movie. Because you get to not only explore and have these actors play multiple versions of themselves.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, I wrote this in the review that's coming out tomorrow. You get to see Ki Hu Kwan beat a group of security guards with nothing more than a fanny pack.
What?
Like, he does martial arts in this movie. So he plays three different versions of himself. The main character, Michelle Yao, she plays, I think her name's Eleanor. She plays multiple different versions of herself. Not only do you get to see multiple versions of these people, because they teach her how to tap into like the other versions of herself, like their skills. So she gets to inhabit some of their skills. And not only do you get to see the multiple versions of people, you get to see some of the multiple universes and some of the weird shit that those multiple universes have in store for you. This movie has a lot of also like martial arts action, like a lot.
I do know it's not necessarily a spoiler, but I do know that there are dildo fingers in one.
No. Hot dog fingers.
Hot dog fingers.
All I'm going to say is hot dog fingers. And Randy Newman voices a raccoon.
What the fuck?
When you see the raccoon, you hear him, that is Randy Newman.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't want to spoil anything, but there is so much action. There is so much comedy. Like, this movie makes you think. It makes you laugh. Like, it does kind of have a message, but again, it's not preachy.
Okay.
It's just you see the characters and who they are, and you get their real emotion. And then you think, like, it gets to a point where you're like, you're looking at this, at these people at their most like humanness, human form, at their most like, you know, humanity of of each person between the, you know, the main characters. Cause that, you know, on the backdrop of all this shit happening, you know, they're maybe potentially going through a divorce and stuff like that. So it's like, you have all this real human shit, and then you throw all of this multiverse shit with all the craziness that comes along with it and the fucking hot dog fingers and Randy Newman and like, it is the most ridiculous movie, but I have to say, it's done so well that it's blended so well that you don't feel like, you know, sometimes you'll watch a movie, you're like, okay, that was good, but if they maybe amped up the comedy a little more or they tried to put too much comedy into it, this is done so well and it's so evenly blended that it's another one that you go for the ride and you just fucking enjoy it. So there's action if you love martial arts fighting. Because there is, like, they have, like, they're, like, pretty famous, I guess, in Asian. But, like, there's, like, a martial arts team, like, these three. I think two of them are brothers and another, the guy that's on their team. But, like, they're, like, crazy, like well-known. And, like, they're in the movie. And, like,
okay.
It's just, like, yeah, there's martial arts action. There's, you know, fantasy. There's adventure. There's science fiction. And above all, it's all just wrapped in a big, huge fucking blanket of comedy.
Okay.
It's comedy, 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 and like, it's and just so round. Much fun.
And that's the thing that surprises me out of all of it.
A group of guys with a fanny pack,
and also the guy from Big Trouble in Little Chinatown,
James Hong. Yeah,
he's in everything.
I'm not going to spoil it, but he fights as well.
Oh.
And he's very old.
Yeah,
he's very old now.
He fought in Wayne's World.
He fights in a wheelchair. Okay,
he was very old in Wayne's World.
He's in a wheelchair in the whole movie, so he's like, he fights in a wheelchair. Okay, but yeah, it is. I literally like I. Everyone should see this movie.
It is I heard there were multiple standing ovations for it. Okay, so.
It is so good. Like I didn't see anything bad at South by Southwest.
Okay, that's the one thing that is good about it. Like usually. That's the like it's like the thing you want to happen the most is like you go to something like that and you watch nothing but good movies.
Yeah,
because the worst
in theaters with other people. Like
film people, no. Other movie lovers.
To me, going to like a film festival like that and you go and you see a movie that somebody worked really super hard on, and it's nice to see that they were all good. And the one thing that would suck is if you went and you'd be like, that movie absolutely sucked.
I couldn't imagine going to a movie that sucked. And then having like the, like we would did to the premieres, right? Some of the cast and the crew were there. And then I'm like, you know, this movie, nope, I didn't
like that would be terrible because I know they've done it before where they've had South by Southwest movies. They got movies that got screened there that were terrible. And it's like, how did nobody not call this out?
See, I mean, you know, maybe in the beginning, you know, there's growing pains. There's this and that could, you know, prevent you from the, once you make a name for yourself, and obviously they've made, you know, huge name for themselves at this point. So you get like, you know, best choice or first choice. Cause like this was directed by two guys, both named Dan, actually. They just call themselves the Daniels. Like directed by Daniels is what it says. They did a lot of music videos and they've actually shown music videos at South by Southwest before and they've won awards there. And they were asking me in the Q&A, like, how did you guys come up with some of this stuff? They're like, this was over 10 years that we were just kind of putting a little bit here and there together. And then they were like, basically, we took all the crazy shit that some of the musicians like Rihanna that we worked with said no to in their music videos. And we're like, all right, we'll throw that in the fucking movie. You know? I can safely tell you people were fucking howling with laughter. Like the whole theater just, it felt so good to be in a movie theater with a bunch of people. And everyone just laughing their asses off.
That was my favorite part of South by Southwest. And if anybody out there ever gets the chance to go, and I highly recommend it, because you get to sit in a theater with fans of film.
Yeah.
Other fans. Like, you're excited to be there. They're excited to be there. And you get to watch a movie together. And it's just so fun.
See, that's the one thing I miss, like, with some movies. Like, if you're a true fan of something and watching it with those people. Because, like, I mean... I mean, we love horror movies, but you know that there's just some people that go there just to watch because it's like, oh, it's a movie and everybody's going to watch it. But to actually be surrounded by the people who love the same thing that you love.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I think I've only experienced maybe once or twice in my lifetime. And it's like a euphoria thing because like
it is.
Both, like everybody in there appreciates
it. I can safely say that X, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
And The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. Those are three movies that you need to see with a group of people.
You need to experience them collectively. You need to
experience that collectively in a theater with a lot of people and just have that collective, like, just moments of like pure fucking hilariousness in those two movies. And X is just pure gore and fucking uncomfortableness and just
tits blood, and ass.
Tits, ass. Like, just there's so much elements in it that it's just...
There's a shadow of a dong.
It's so fun. Like,
there is a dong. There's peni.
Oh, okay. So I did see one more that I just remembered.
That penis?
Yeah, I saw one more penis that I remembered.
Okay.
I got to see Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
That's right.
I forgot about that. I got to see that last night, the night before. I don't know what
whenever day
it is.
You don't remember anymore.
I didn't know what day it was for like a whole week at South by Southwest. I just knew that I needed to be at this movie at this time. Okay. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is Pete Davidson is in it, and he's only in a kind of small part. And I I won't spoil it, but just to say that he dies first. So that's so how like Suicide Squad. Short. That's how short, you know, like, you know, his role.
Never
is.
Pete Davidson is Suicide Squad, yes.
Yeah, he was on the second
one. So it starts off, and I don't remember anyone's fucking name, and it's not on IMDb yet because I don't even know when the movie's coming out. But this girl and her girlfriend are going to this friend's, like, family's mansion in Florida somewhere, and they're having a hurricane party because, you know, they're all like, you got to go inside. And it's like, all right, we're going to go to this. They're going to this guy's house, Pete Davidson's house. Yeah. All these people play like rich, bratty 20-somethings, right? So it's Pete Davidson's parents' house, and they all go, and it's this big mansion, you know, and they, this girl and her new girlfriend that she's only been dating for, you know, like 6 weeks or something, they say. So this is the first time that this girl's going to meet all of her friends. And they go, and they just start hanging out, and there's a lot of drugs and drinking, and they just basically take turns, like, taking shots at each other about stuff.
Uh-huh.
So they start to get bored or whatever, and, you know, everyone's doing coke, basically, and drinking and just all this shit, right? And they decide they want to play this game that they've all played since they were kids, and they call it Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. What they do is you get a piece of paper, and whoever has the X on it, you're the murderer.
Okay.
So you turn the lights off, and everyone scatters, and in the dark, the murderer has to go and, like, tap someone.
So it's like hide and seek?
Well, yeah, it's kind of like hide and seek, but then that person has to lay down and pretend they're dead. And then when someone finds them, they have to scream out, bodies, bodies, bodies. And they turn the lights on, and they try and figure out who the murderer is.
So, like, Clue?
So it's kind of like Clue, but it's kind of like a silly version of, like, hide and seek and Clue together.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what happens is Pete Davidson's character ends up getting murdered. And they spend the whole time trying to figure out which one of them is the actual fucking murderer. And then the lights go out because it's a fucking hurricane.
And somebody dies again.
And then everyone is like, everyone's a suspect. Everyone is like, no one trusts anyone. And then it devolves into this thing where it's like, well, you did this and you did that. And it's like they kind of just air out all their fucking dirty laundry. And like all their friendships are like severely tested. Because it's like, and this movie is hilarious because it's really a satirical look, and it pokes fun at like stupid rich 20-somethings that have, you know, just that are aimless in life. And it's like, they make fun of each other about their drug use, and they make fun of each other about, you know, family and this and that. And slowly they start, you know, taking each other out. And then until you get to the end, and then you figure out what the fuck is going on.
Okay.
So it's very funny. There is some gore to it. There's some pretty good violent happenings in the film.
Okay.
A lot of comedy, just because it's, I think there's only like six people in the whole thing, you know. It's like a bunch of girls and, you know, Pete Davidson and one other guy that's another girl's boyfriend, and the rest are these his sister and then, you know, the other friends that are there. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. You'll laugh your ass off. It's definitely not one that you need to go see right away.
All
right. When it, you know, if it comes out on Blu-ray or once it starts to hit, you know, stuff like that. But if you're in for a good time, and if you've already seen the other ones we've already, you know, recommended, you'll have a good time.
Okay.
If you're a fan of horror, or, you know, kind of those kind of whodunit thrillers kind of thing, you might see the ending coming, especially, you know, with Pete Davidson's character being like the kind of, you know, silly character that he plays. You might see the ending coming, but it's still a fun ride. You'll have a good time with it no matter what. And I really think that, you know, everyone at the theater had a really good time with it as well. So we, you know, go and take a look at it after, you know, but put it 4 or 5 on your list after, you know, the ones we've talked about already.
All right.
I'm going to watch Bitch Ass tonight, so I'll have to tell you how that is. It's about Tony Todd's in it. I think he plays a serial killer.
So. Yeah, we have that virtual one to watch. It's still going on. South by Southwest is still going on. It's a sprawling, expansive.
Not for the most part.
Well, it's the music festival.
Well,
now
everything else is still going on, but I think the film is pretty much done. They're going to show a couple of screenings of stuff they've already shown, you know, but I think they had their intermission film party the other night, so it's already, you know, they're officially past the halfway point.
Yeah, but that was South by Southwest 2022. We had a blast.
I got to talk to Jamie Lee Curtis for like 12 seconds. I was going up the stairs as she was coming down, and I asked her real quick, how fun was it to play the character she plays in everything, everyone all at once? And she was like, so much fun, so freeing, because she plays, there's no way to describe it, but like a schlubby IRS agent who's like a lonely person, and like, you get to feel for her character. But she also plays other versions of
herself
that are very funny as well. Okay. She does a lot of comedy in this movie as well. Like, everyone is fucking hilarious in this movie. Like, literally everyone is hilarious in this movie.
I just really want to watch it now because of Short Round.
Yes, I have to see it because of Short Round as well.
I cannot wait for the world to see this movie. Like that, I've been telling everyone that'll fucking listen to me. Like every Uber driver we've had in fucking South by Southwest, like,
and Uber drivers, you are chatty.
Some of you are. Some of you are
some chatty little Kathys, aren't ya? I heard some like four life stories on to and from the airport, man. I was like, I don't know why I'm getting your full life analysis right now, but thanks. Somebody
needs someone to talk to sometimes, and that's, you know.
I guess, but I mean, it was a busy weekend for the Uber drivers. Like, they had people coming in and out. Hey, I'm like, how many people are you telling the story to, bud?
Well, think about this. What if you got paid for therapy? That's what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting paid and you get therapy. So why the fuck not, man? You're in my car now. You're going to listen to this shit. So my mom.
I'm just going to start laying out my problems next time somebody gives me their problems. Well, okay. I'm like, we're going to go tit for tat here because, honey, I got some stories.
So that was.
This isn't a competition, ma'am. Get out of my car.
Yeah, that was this episode. We'll be back very soon. We're going to be doing.
We should be back to week by week now. Yes. We've had a crazy few months. Kim got COVID. Angie got COVID. We moved. We had to go to South by Southwest. We've been sick. It's like.
Life happens.
Flu. What is the fucking allergy season?
Allergy season, which is why I sound so sexy and sultry.
We all have fucking issues. We're old people. Oh,
yeah. We are very old people. And I felt that going to South by Southwest. There was like 10 o'clock premieres were the midnight premieres. And I was like, bitch, I am tired. I need to go to bed.
No one informed me how hilly Austin was. Because I was walking places. I'm like, why is there a hill all of a sudden?
And we got press passes. So we went dressed like press. Like we went in like a jacket and pants. But there were some people. I'm like, you were wearing a trash bag.
I saw the pictures.
There was one night, Friday night, I was freezing my ass off. It was 37 degrees with an 8-mile-an-hour wind, and I'm standing by this bus stop just waiting for my Uber to come because I'm just like, I have, you know,
your
my business, shirt, like business casual, and then my sport coat over it, and I'm like, this is not anything. So, yeah, freezing my ass off, and like I did not prepare for the hills because my calves were killing me.
But ladies... Gold. You Austin ladies, y'all are some troopers. Cause I'm like, you have a napkin on, and I have jeans and a coat. I don't even know how you are surviving this.
You didn't go to the film party that I do, where I met Jamie Lee Curtis.
No,
and
I didn't.
I'm like, there were some chicks there, and I'm like, how are you not fucking frozen right now? Cause I'm like, even if you have underwear under that, you are frozen. Because you must have stepped out of somebody's car.
We also saw right into a shirt on the ground at some point where it looked like
somebody
they had walked by something that hooked onto it and it just like fell off all the way. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, there's somebody fell out of their clothes.
And
I don't know what happened.
Back to their hotel? I don't know.
I don't know. But Austin ladies, you were built different. And I applaud you because, no, I had jeans and a coat, a full-on coat, because I was freezing. It was 37
Angie
degrees.
Like a businesswoman. I saw that picture.
Angie was cold and tired.
You got to dress for the job you want, Saul. Right. Isn't that what they say?
I'm going to be dressing like a garbage cat lady. That's what I'm going to be doing. Okay.
So, yeah, we'll be back to our normal programming as far as...
I think we're going to do...
We're going to do one of the leprechauns next.
We're going to do one of the leprechauns.
I suggested the Return of the Shitholes.
Yes. So I think for the rest of March, we're going to do a leprechaun one. And I think we're going to do one of the horrible crow sequels.
Which I am so looking forward to because I can't wait to do that.
Never seen it.
I can't wait.
So we haven't decided which leprechaun we're going to do because there are some pretty horrible leprechauns.
Oh,
yeah. But we will be back soon with
a
leprechaun. So we will see you soon.
Oh, by the way, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's
Day. When you hear this, it'll be St. Patrick's Day.
I didn't even realize it. I was looking at my phone today, and I was like, is motherfucking St. Patrick's Day
tomorrow?
Listen
to the Leprechaun episode.
We lost a fucking hour Saturday night because fucking daylight savings bullshit. I'm from Arizona, man. I don't do that shit.
We don't do this.
Which is, again, why it was freezing because I got off the plane and it was way too cold.
1:59 and I'm like, and now it's 3 a.m. So fuck me. We got to get up in a few hours. This is daylight savings bullshit.
Daylight savings time is bullshit. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.